This is the Pipeline Mag podcast. Today, two Nielsen Norman Group essays published 8 days apart that pulled design documentation in opposite directions.
Before we start, this episode was generated by AI from a Pipeline Mag article, and the hosts are synthetic voices.
The shift Tony Alicia is describing isn't just a speculative idea for how design deliverables might change down the road.
Right, because Google basically already shipped that exact model for visual design rules.
In April 2026, Google open-sourced design.md. It's a draft specification built so teams can export design rules as a plain text file for coding agents.
Engineer Keshia Shu framed it around clarity, so AI agents can know exactly what a color is for instead of having to guess.
And it took off fast. Within months of that format going public, community projects were already forking it to package entire brand visual identities into installable design.md files.
Alicia's proposal in his July 24th essay for Nielsen Norman Group extends that exact logic upstream, from visual identity into research synthesis.
He calls it UX context design. The core idea is to compile user models, domain glossaries, and research synthesis into a plain text file called UX.md.
In his argument, research output needs to be made AI-ready. He defines UX context design as the practice of discovering and curating what an organization knows and wants into the context that guides everything its AI tools generate.
And that's not happening in a vacuum. The AI and Design Report 2026 found that 91% of surveyed designers already use AI on a weekly basis. If designers are working alongside models constantly, turning research into a file a model can ingest is where the reading has already gone.
But 8 days earlier, on July 17th, 2026, Maria Rosala published an essay in Nielsen Norman Group making the exact opposite case about those exact same documentation artifacts.
She argued that a team that outsources research to AI gets a report, but it doesn't get the learning.
Right. Her focus isn't on whether the machine can parse the text. It's on what happens to human learning when team members skip sitting through the actual sessions.
She describes sitting through a research session, watching a participant get stuck, and hearing the exact words they use to describe their confusion. Her point is that living through that moment stays with a team in a way no summary of it ever will.
She explicitly writes, "We were all there. We all saw it. We all heard it. We all lived it." And she grounds that in psychological science, citing the self-generation effect, that people retain what they produce themselves much better than what they merely consume.
She also brings in Princeton research showing a listener's brain activity mirrors a storyteller's brain activity during live narrative, plus findings from Michigan State and UC Santa Barbara showing personal narratives activate far more of the brain than technical manuals do.
So in Rosala's framing, reading a comprehensive research deck just creates an illusion of learning. Everyone nods around the deck, but nobody actually absorbed what happened in the room.
It's a strong parallel to the problem this magazine flagged with synthetic UX research. A system optimized to deliver a clean answer can end up hiding exactly the friction a team needed to sit with.
But hold on. We have to address the obvious counterpoint to that.
Which is?
That traditional human-readable research decks were frequently ignored anyway.
Right. Stakeholders skim a slide deck, grab a single headline takeaway, and move on. They weren't absorbing the nuanced qualitative context either.
So if a coding model ingests a UX.md file and applies those research rules every single time it generates UI, you could argue that raises the baseline floor of research application, even if human reading stays zero.
That's a strong counterargument. But Alicia himself doesn't claim UX.md is a replacement for human research. He's careful to position it as downstream from work a team still has to conduct and understand deeply enough to distill.
That narrows his claim significantly. His whole framework defines UX context design around discovering and curating what an organization knows. If nobody on the team did the learning Rosala is describing, where does the curated knowledge come from?
Exactly. Alicia even points out that a curation decision made for today's models might turn out to be completely wrong for next year's models.
which means UX.MD only works if someone already lived through the qualitative research process Rosala is defending. It relies on the very human learning it's accused of replacing.
But narrowing the scope doesn't resolve the biggest problem in both essays. Who actually owns that curation step?
It's an editorial judgment, not an automated export button.
It's much closer to the compliance question of whether AI agents reliably follow agents.md files than to a simple documentation task. And when a task has no assigned owner, it gets handled inconsistently or forgotten entirely.
Which is why neither essay solves the practical breakdown. Most product teams won't choose between writing for humans or writing for machines. They'll end up maintaining a UX.md file right alongside the human sessions that produced it.
The real fork in the road is whether an organization recognizes curating that context as a distinct, ongoing discipline with clear accountability.
Or whether it treats context curation as an automatic byproduct that any tool can generate on its way out the door.
Skip that distinction, and you get an AI that reads your UX.md file faithfully every single time.
Built entirely from a version of your own research that nobody on your team quite remembers living through.
That's the episode. The full article with the sources is at pipelinemag.ai.